Hello everyone, and welcome back to episode 4 of the Jewish Journeys podcast. We're so happy to be with you, so happy to be bringing you more Jewish inspiration.
With the boy,
Frankie. We have an amazing guest today. I've known him for a while now, and he's always inspired me. He's so philosophical, so deep, and I know we're going to get a lot of good juice today. It's the one and only Justin Hutch. So just to start with, a bit of a background, like, can you tell us just like a little mini bio, a bit about you, where you're from, where you are right now, like where you grew up, just kind of a little bit of background.
Yeah, 100%. Boys, just want to give you guys the proper kavod. So we're in brachos, we need to be close and give your friends the proper kavod. Shout out Rabbi Lynn, shout out Backroom. If you're listening to this and you know what it is. But just want to say you guys are doing awesome things. Really, really excited and happy to help in any way that I can. I guess for my story, where I begin, born and raised in Maryland. I'm the oldest of four.
Same.
Ever since I can remember, hockey has played a huge, huge
hockey part Hodge.
Of my life. As Frank said, Hockey Hotch was my alias back in the day. Still is, but trying to balance the world. Born and raised in Maryland, reform, traditional household, went to, our synagogue on the high holidays. One of the things looking back, I think that was actually really, really amazing, at least now where I am today looking back, was as a competitive hockey player, you're continually, you're always traveling, as, Frank shared on his journey and something yes. that, we share together is our hockey background. And, ever since I remember, was completely traveling on the weekends. So Judaism, didn't play a huge part in my life, but my parents really kept it for at least me. Come the high holidays, I would not play. So I had kind of this ingrained kind of Jewish identity as kind of like, a high holiday practicing Jewish, but as for like my personal identity,
yes,
I never really had the opportunity to construct it. But thank God I am where I am today, because if I didn't have my background and the people I've met on the way, I wouldn't be where I am. So Baruch Hashem, I'm here.
How old are you?
I'm 25.
25. You went to university?
So I did go. I started actually at the University of Delaware.
Okay.
So similar to Frank background.
President Joe, no?
Yeah, Joey B.
Joey
Bats.
the private joke.
So kind of like I said, throughout my life, the goal was, ever since I remember, like, be a professional hockey player. That's what I wanted to do. And I knew from like 13, 14, that I, unfortunately I wouldn't get to that point, but the next best step would be playing college. Thank God I had that opportunity. Went to the University of Delaware for 2 years.
Oh, wow.
Had some amazing experience there. But it was pretty interesting, because I think when I was there, there was something that I was missing, and I really didn't know what it was. I couldn't, I had great friends. I was getting myself involved in great extracurricular activities while also playing hockey, but there was just something that I was missing. So after my sophomore year, I actually transferred to the University of Maryland.
Yes.
Where my brother was a freshman there.
Okay.
And going from a school and a hockey team where I was one of two Jews to joining a school that was 25% Jewish to joining a Jewish fraternity on campus. It was night and day, where I was just like, one morning I woke up and I was just like, I'm surrounded by, my brothers, both from a fraternity standpoint, but also like Jews. I look back at my life, as a hockey player, I wasn't surrounded by many people, that shared similar values.
Yeah.
But then, getting involved in AUPI, the world kind of just opens up for you to create these connections with people that you might have only met, a week ago, but you share something so deep that, these relationships and nothing about the, friendship is shallow at all. And you feel like you can relate to these people in so many different facets. And, thank God, I think without AUPI and different life experiences, I wouldn't be where I am today. So, shout out to the AUPI boys and helping me grow.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, I kind of relate to you in the fact that, I obviously didn't know I was Jewish when I was 11. So I all of a sudden, when I was 11, I went from being surrounded by no Jews to be everyone around me was Jewish. And it seemed to be that, it's quite interesting, because my experience was like alien. Okay, like now I'm around all these Jews, like I don't like it, I feel alien. Whereas with you, it was like, from what it sounds like, it was like, it wasn't necessarily a negative experience to begin with, or like an overwhelming experience. It was just more, oh my gosh, like there's all these people that are like me and that we have shared common experience. And actually this is having a positive effect on my Jewish identity. Whereas for me, it was like the opposite. Yeah. To begin with, it was like a very, it made Judaism for me like a negative thing, like an overwhelming thing. Wow. But for you, am I right in saying
that? Yeah, 100%. So one point I would interject was when I transferred to Maryland, that following summer break, I took a trip to Israel, my first time in Israel. So I did, you know, the classic birthright and then jumped onto an internship program and I was here for the summer. And like, that was the first touch of like, whoa. Like, what is Judaism to me? How do I fit into Klal Yisrael? Like, I was, you know, I at that point in time, I was 21, 22 years old, you know, kind of in that transition from, you know, the immature kid who's looking for some answers to trying to find my derech, I guess you could call it, within my life, whether that be, like, a career, whether that be, you know, where I wanted to move next. Trying to find myself. You know, with every book on the Barnes & Noble, you know, self-help shelf.
Classic.
Through searching.
100%. I was mavakish,
I
mean, right?
Like, even that makes some sense. I mean, I grew up similar background to you, and I had no interest of, or feeling really of knowing that I wasn't around Jews. I mean, that's something I needed and I missed, but it sounds like you did. How did that come about that you knew that being around Jews is something that like was important to you and you wanted to pursue that?
You know what, like, I don't even think I have the answer. I think it's something that I'm still searching for, right? Yeah. I think, you know, as we're on these journeys, you know, all three of us respectively come from our own backgrounds. But, you know, as Bali Tshuva, you know, it talks about it in Gemara of like, you know, where Bali Tshuva stand, you know, Sadiqim can't, and where Sadiqim can't stand, Bali Tshuva can't, vice versa.
Yeah.
It's just one of these things where, you know, as we, you know, each of our own have our own backgrounds, both similar and different, you know, I think it's beautiful. I don't think, at least for me, like I don't have an answer for that. I don't know what it was that like got me or had me searching. I was looking for something, and you know, please God, I continue on this journey strong, because I think, you know, searching for Hashem, finding Him, you know, in your relationships, in yourself, and in Torah that we learn every day. Like I think it's in a gradual, you know, growth constantly. So it's definitely a good question. Something I you know, think about constantly. But the point that I was getting at before was the Birthright J internship, you know, the self-help books.
You were searching for some sort of philosophical...
Right, I don't think I was searching for, like, a specific answer. I just think I was consistently trying to get to a place where I wasn't... You know, my wheels weren't spinning in the mud, as they say. Like, I wanted to get to a place of confidence. And, you know... I didn't feel like I could get that. And then coincidentally, the internship program that I did was ran through an amazing, amazing rabbi, through Or Sameach. I give
great place.
You know, many, many thanks to him because it was Rabbi Siegel.
Oh, yeah, fantastic.
So beautiful neshama.
Love Rabbi
Siegel. You know, thank God, still came in touch with him today. But it was one of these things where it was that time where the tracks kind of came together where I was at the place of self-help, introduced by like Musser, and I was like, whoa, there's Torah sources for you to become your best self. And there's Torah sources for you.
Judaism offers that.
So I was like, my whole life, I was, you know,
who needs self-help?
Right. So I don't want to speak for you, but maybe in your mind, when you first came to Judaism, you know, I feel like a lot of people's definitions of Judaism is it's defined as what you can't do and what you can do.
Very interesting.
But like you, very my exposure to Judaism was like, look, my first understanding of Judaism was like, this helps you to become that person I want to be, right? Like it was giving me the answers, philosophical, you know, like what is God? What is this? Like I wasn't really working that out at that time.
You're more into character.
I was more into character development, Musser, while all like just understanding that the, you know, these self-help books were written, you know, within the last 30 years has this self-help, you know, gone huge, but the Torah has been around for
thousands of years,
forever. And it's like this, it's ingrained in just, you know, what Hashem gave to Moshe on Mount Sinai. It's just like, I'm giving you like this self-help book to become your best person. I was just like, I'm game. Yeah. So, you know,
that's amazing, because most people, like a lot of I speak to, like a lot of people who became religious, or a lot of their kind of source for becoming religious is kind of like philosophically initiated, meaning it comes from an idea of, like, you know, Rabbi Kellerman, like, do I believe in God? Like, what are the proofs of God? You know, Rabbi Gottlieb, you know, he's kind of like, prove to me that God's real. And it kind of, it's very interesting, because it seems that you come from a different perspective. It was like, okay, like, they are important questions, but for me, it was like, I'm very big into character development. I want to grow. I want to be the best Justin I can be.
Right.
And these health books are great. Like, you know, I go to the store, you know, you buy, you know, How to Win Friends and Influence Some People, even though they're not necessarily the, they might have the wrong twist on them.
Right.
But the Torah, which is 1,000 years, has even, let's go with the idea that God might not be real. There's wisdom that's 2,000 years old here.
For sure. Right. I mean, what's interesting to me is everyone knows Justin knows that he's the most, like, growth-driven person I know. But just amazing, we've heard multiple interviews now with people that were, you know, pretty far off, if not completely far off. And then they're just searching for something, and they get it, and they just run with it. Like, hopefully we'll get to it. But to go from that, and then searching and seeing that there's truth in Torah, to now, you know, being Shia of 2 years, there's a lot there. There's a lot that happens. Like, is that just, you're just buttoning yourself to Hashem, to the Torah? Like, what is it that made you go from searching for truth and growth to now changing your entire life, like, on a flip of a dime, you know?
Very good.
Sick question. First off, it was told to me from a rabbi that even Rabbi Dessler had a copy of Dale Carnegie, had a friend, had an influence. Really? So, fun fact.
Love
that. So it's, you know, it's a balance. But, you know, I really just think, you know, Frank and I have discussed it the other day. It's just the people that, you know, Hashem's put into your life have the biggest impact on you. You know, as much as you want to say, like, you know, this is me, I'm doing this, I'm bettering myself, this.
Mm.
The people you really surround yourself help you get to that place. And, you know, both that goes in, you know, a secular context, but also in the confines of religiosity.
Mm.
And, you know, obviously at the end of the day, when you surround yourself with people that are growth oriented.
Yes.
And on top of that, you know, where we are right now at Mechon Yaakov and Har Nof, like, you know, people that are mavakish for Hashem, like, you find that emes and you want to, you know, continue to strive for that. So, you know, looking back at my summer, you know, in Israel, being here, being surrounded by the people, being surrounded by, you know, the communities of Israel, and, like, feeling that Jewish identity and wanting to, you know, search for it. Like, I was like, okay, great. But what's going to happen when I get back to Maryland?
Yes.
So one of the big transitions for me was, like, I love Shabbat. Shabbat, you know, was keeping Shabbat. You know, I say in air quotes, keeping Shabbat, you know, but to me, like, once I got back to Maryland, keeping Shabbat was like, you know, turning my phone off for 25 hours, but, like, going and having fun. And, you know, in the right time, I took on different things.
Like, slowly, or, like, how?
Slowly, definitely very, very, very slowly.
And you had a rabbi that guided you.
Right. So it was funny. I'd be remiss to not mention, but Mayor Maryland, shout out Rabbi K, Rabbi Z, those two guys, right off the plane, back from Israel, right as I got back to Maryland, they were like, you know, on the phone with me, what can we do? And, you know, without them and without Mayor, without, you know, Olami, I would definitely not be
here where I am.
So, you know, I think the long-winded answer, you know, I was looking for something, you know, and from what I feel and from what I look back and see, you know, it's a combination of, you know, what Pirkei Avos says. It's like, you know, for yourself, with other men, and with God. You know, I think at first, like, I was looking, you know, for myself. I was trying to find it, you know, myself and others. Like, I was surrounded by guys from AAPI, you know, similar people that, you know, do these Shabbatons all around the world, that were searching for something and wanting to become, you know, the next leaders of Klal Yisrael.
Yes.
And then at the end of the day, like, you know, searching for what, you know, what God is, like, what is that relationship? And, you know, one of the questions that I remember clearly that I started asking myself was, why do I take waking up for granted? I remember, like, that was the first big philosophical question for me. It was like, why do I take waking up for granted?
And again, that's not a belief in God question. That's a question of character.
Right. How so? How do you think of it?
No, I just, we, because you mentioned earlier that, you know, like, what was the, one of the main points that, like, introduced you to Judaism was the whole idea of searching for, like, how to build character, like, self-help. And then why do I take waking up for granted? For me, it's still a question of my character. It's gratitude.
Right.
It's appreciation. Like, I need to become a more grateful, aware, present person that when I wake up, I don't take it for granted.
Right.
For me, that points to a question of character, right. Not necessarily. I mean, it links to God, right. Obviously, because I wake up because of God, but not, is God real or not?
Right.
Meaning, if God was real, then I would ask the question about my being right. Annoyed. But like, it seems like your starting point is an assumption that God's already there.
Right.
And then, I like, why do I wake up? Because if there was no God, and I wake up or close, what's it due to? If there's no God, like, when I wake up or go to sleep, or nature, science, okay, like, I'm grateful, do you know what I mean? So it seems like that you're starting already with the God in your mind. It seems like you had emunah and faith before, but already, that you always believed in God, maybe, or...
I'd say a little bit.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when Frank and I crossed paths, my emunah went through the roof. This guy...
Frankie's a king.
He's later on the journey, but, like, you know, just where it was kind of that step of, like, you know... The attitude of gratitude is what I say for Modani. It's like, you know, you're waking up and your first like thing is like, be thankful, right? For Hashem. And then you go around like being thankful for your, you know, for others. And at the end of the day, you're just like, wow, like, you know, did I accomplish what I want? And having that gratitude for yourself. So, you know, I think that trifecta of like your relationship with yourself, with others, and with God, you know, is beautiful. And, you know, please God, continue to work out that journey.
How did your friends, like, how did your non-religious friends respond? Like, did you have a girlfriend at the time? Like, I'm sure people were interested. Like,
you know, it was quite funny because, I don't say funny, it was great because a lot of my friends in AAPI, you know, went to Jewish day school and, you know, had the whereabouts and the background of kind of like what I was getting myself into. Mm. You know, so I would say, you know, boys are boys. They give each other a hard time, but it's out of love. And, you know, my boys, like, you know, in AAPI, like the first Shabbat meal I went to on campus was like a fraternity Shabbat meal. Mind you, these are 22-year-old kids, you know, on Friday night when they could have they had the options to
go out
and do anything, but like they decided to stay in. And so, you know, as much as they give a hard time of me, you know, turning on my phone and doing this, like it was that balance of growing slowly, but also taking on things at the right time, obviously with the advising of the Rebbeim that I had. But like, you know, it one of the things that I'm beyond grateful for, and I'm sorry, you know, to my family that I'm just bringing you now into the podcast here, but the love and support that I've had, you know, from my family, immediate family, from my brothers, sisters, my parents, you know, to my grandparents,
beautiful,
to everyone, it's been
it's unique.
It's been family. Yeah, thank God, it's been unbelievable. I
think that's a testament to you too, really, the way that you
approached it,
and the way that you've shown the bridge of the gap. I think that's maybe your.
I appreciate
you could have cut off your family. Like, people tend to. There are people who just like go, you know, just completely cut off their family.
Right.
You were a Kiddush Hashem to your family. You're obviously a Kiddush Hashem because now they probably have a different view on Judaism without you realizing it, because that's how I kind of feel, like it's a responsibility to be a religious Jew in your family.
Right.
Because indirectly you're impacting them without, you're not directly making them more religious, but they're seeing how you interact with Judaism and how you are as a Jew. That's how they will now think of Judaism.
Right. It's you know, it's back in the day, it's like, how can you light your own ish, like your own fire?
Mm.
And once you're able to kind of like have that strong is how can you light others? And I, you know, I think I've held myself to that testament. And, you know, there was something that, you know, especially when I, you know, consider my life's background and, you know, who has been involved, and just like continuing to grow and develop is not losing my true self. I think,
don't
you know,
lose justice.
I've had a beautiful neshama, thank God, you know, to both. Credit to my, you know, my parents and my brothers and sisters, but you know, just I'd be very disappointed with myself if I ever lost touch of who I was.
Mm.
Obviously, you know, like growing at the right weight and not necessarily involving yourself in the same activities, but just like, you know, holding yourself to, you know, what your parents have helped build you into. And you know, at least for me in my situation, that might not be true for everyone, but at least for my situation of like wanting to hold myself accountable to growing and developing, you know, who I was. You know, because I think all the, like I said, all the life experiences that I've had, you know, both good and bad, you know, with friends has brought me to where I am today. So,
one thing I always say is that my like kind of litmus test, if my Judaism is going in the right way or it's real, is am I still Jodeci? You know, do I still feel like me? Do I still feel I'm authentic to Jodeci? Am I still got my personality? Am I still funny? Do I enjoy the same things? Do I treat people? Obviously, I have to grow.
Right.
But if I'm negating myself, because there were points, I'm sure we've all had journeys where we're a bit flamey.
Right.
I call it flamey Baltashuvas,
sure.
Where we go so quick and so extreme. We delete all social media. We stop talking to everyone. We're like, we're sitting in the base till 5 in the morning. All of a sudden, I'm like, you know, it's like I've got to like reconfigure it, you know. But everyone goes through those stages.
Right.
I want to get back to it. You are that type of gesher, but it seems like at the time you were looking up to these people in your fraternity, and you're not at those levels you're passing. But now, you know, you're in yeshiva and you're here and you're going, and your trajectory is going to keep going. What allowed you to, I guess, take the next step and go to the next level? And what can you do while you continue to grow to relate back to the people that, you know, helped you along the way and maybe bring others that, you know, up to the journey? And a big problem, I think, is that, not a problem, but a lot of Baltashuvas, like, we see the light, we see the glory, we just take off.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people that are born into it, they take it for granted, and they kind of just stay stagnant. So what can we do to, you know, bring those people that inspired us originally and then keep bringing them up as we, you know, metaphorically pass them, or we kind of just keep growing, showing that there's still a lot more they can grow as well?
Right. It's a good question. Loaded question. But I'll kind of give, like, my ideas on it. So, first off, back to your authentic self, you know, what we were talking about before, the Torah literally spells it out, you know, for you finding your helek, you know, your pathway, your derech in Torah. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, once you find that, like, go weiter. I think, you know, and thank God, I think, you know, I was in a place where I found character development, and then, you know, the whole Musar work, you know, Rav Wolbe, Rav Dessler, you know, all of these, you know, individuals that were so influential in the Musar movement, you know, from such an early on, that, like, I went with that. And I think that was something that, you know, started that foundation for me personally, that then just kept on and helped me, you know, wanting to grow, wanting to better myself, not from a negative perspective of saying, you know, oh, I did this wrong, like, you know, beating my chest and saying, you know, Justin, like, why are you doing this? But looking at it from a positive light, like, limelight, and just saying, you know, did I do everything that I needed to do today? Yes, with, like, an asterisk on the top, because there's always more you can do, but, like, you need that kind of self-love for yourself. And, you know, I think from an early onset, you know, the other question was, I look back and thank God, like, Hashem put the people into my life that, like, have the fire, have the desire, have the passion for, you know, growing and developing, but also helping me grow and develop. Like, you know, the amount of conversations that I had late night, you know, at a college town in a fraternity weren't normal. Like, I mean, they weren't normal for a college scene, but, like, what we're doing in yeshiva, like, is unbelievable. Like, I was so beyond lucky to have those relationships. So having them by my side and, like, inspiring me, was, like, step one. Step two, you know, was looking at what type of people are out there that, like, get me fired up. You know, I look at Charlie Harari as, like, you know, the absolute GOAT, like, the, you know, Tom Brady of the NFL, Charlie Harari for, you know, the Jewish world. And, you know, I look at that. I look at a guy who I look at, you know, as a mentor, as a friend, as someone, you know, that's understood his hey, like, his portion, but also how to inspire others. And I think, you know, the advising of others is obviously something that I'm working out, hence also why I'm in yeshiva, because I think, you know, for ultimately someone that needs to, you know, come from the world that they were before and want to, you know, introduce themselves to, you know, the Orthodox, you know, Torah mitzvos, they need to, like, spend some time learning. And, you know, before I go out, you know, and, you know, B'zrat Hashem with Hashem's help, you know, I'm able to bring, you know, people back to Torah and help them out. But I think before that, you know, really just working on myself.
Yeah, so that kind of leads to, like, we've got to kind of wrap it up, you know. keep people keep it short and sweet.
Right.
But the final question, like final few questions. One of them is that what kind of caused you to go to yeshiva in the end? Like, why are you here? Basically, why are you in yeshiva? Like, okay, it's cool. Like, you're inspired by Judaism. Like, cool. Right. But like, it's not so simple to just like. It's not assumed that everybody out of yeshiva goes to yeshiva.
Right.
I mean, you can still live a fairly religious life without going to yeshiva. You can connect to rabbis, learn a bit on the side. You know, do a couple of recent ones. So how come you decided to dedicate a fixed amount of time to yeshiva?
Two words.
Yeah.
Frank Horowitz. I would not be here if it was not for him. This podcast could go on for 3 days for the amount of things that, you know, that we've been through. Where he's been for me and where I've been for him. I thank God 500 million times, you know, I have him in my life and, you know, he's in my life.
So, yeah, just in short, Bekitzer, how did Frankie help you get to yeshiva?
So, we did a trip in Israel, December of 2019, actually here to Machon Yaakov. And I remember walking down on Brandt Street and I was like, dude, I don't know how I'm going to get to yeshiva. I had just signed a job in New York City in the Upper West Side, working Wall Street. And I was like, my life is set. Get to New York January 12th, start working. You know, I think day one, I called Frankie after the first day. I was like, yo, I'm freaking out. Frank was still at NYU, so we met up later like that week. I was freaking out. He's like, actually, throw it back to Israel. He was like, you'll get to yeshiva. Don't worry about it. And I was like, I have no idea. You sound insane. I have no idea this is going to work. Whatever. Didn't believe him. Whatever happened, New York happened. And then COVID hit March 12th. I moved home with my family.
So you were working for a few months.
So I was working in New York for 2 months while hanging out with Frankie, while learning Messias Yusharim. He's badgering me, you know, saying like, yeshiva's going to work out. I was like, dude, I have a job. I can't just quit. March 12th hit COVID. The world shuts down. I'm like, oh my gosh. I go home, work at my parents' basement. I'm like, I can't do this anymore. Call up Frank. I'm like, yo, like, I want to go to yeshiva. He's like, what do you mean? Like, you have a job. He's like, he was giving me tough love. He was making sure like I was in it for real. So I was like, yo, I want to go to yeshiva. And he was like, push it back. He's like, yo, are you for real? It's like, great. Like, I'm going. I was like, how are you going? He's like, I have faith. But this is when the world was completely shut down. I have no idea. So like, I look back and I say, I got to yeshiva because Frank was there for me through thick and thin, through all of my ups and downs. And you know, when we got that call that we were able to come, you know, not knowing if we could travel, but just, you know, the ability to get to Israel and Steiger face off.
Into Hashem's hands.
Like, you know, we did that together, and thank God, you know, the stories that we have from, you know, 2 years ago to this year, to this past year, to now, and please God, you know, for the rest of our lives, like,
man.
That's my answer as to how I get to
Shiva.
Wow. It's good to be saying
it. Is a Shad
Khan. I'm really enjoying this observant status right now.
And you got me here. It's like a
it's a domino effect. And just to be able to bring a bit of humor to the seriousness and the depth of the conversation is, did you have any funny Baal Teshuva moments that you can think of? Or like anything that's... Anything on the spot, but
you know, like, I don't think I have like many Bali Tshuva. Like, I think one of the coolest, whether I say cool or not, I think it's just like a way in which I still relate to my past. But like, I know when I was at Maryland, like, me and two of my friends, one actually respectively in the army, and one the other actually was at Machon Shlomo, the other yeshiva. on Shabbos mornings, we would go to the earliest minyan. And then after that, like, you know, we'd have cholin. But then like later, like 20 minutes later, we would go out, like, you know, have like a party, like a fraternity party. So like, that was like my growth. And as for that, like, I think it was just like in normal time.
That's beautiful. That's funny.
Yeah,
parties.
Nate's at the Baal Teshuva.
6 a.m.
Not necessarily knowing what I'm doing, but like knowing that there's gonna be like a, you know, a bowl of meat with like Doritos crumbled on top of it. No, you know, as like my pregame for whatever. But like, you know, in terms of like extreme Baal Teshuva stories,
you took the physical and you elevated it.
Right.
Come on,
that's what it's all about.
The Kaddish and the physical.
Oh, mate. And finally, what would you say to someone who's looking to get involved in Judaism on their Jewish end? You're not sure, you know, where they're going. They're a bit like, in and out, like how, like what would you give, what advice would you give them to kind of go forward on their Jewish journey? Or if they're starting up as a religious Jew, because like a lot of our listeners, you know, are either Jewish right. or interested in the Jewish journey, like what would you say?
You know, I think it's a beautiful question, great question. And I think each to their own. You know, like one of our rabbis says, it's different strokes for different folks. You know, everyone has such a unique story, and like you'd have to answer that question to that person like individually. But you know, I think one of the things that I've seen time over time, and then I would give over to someone is when you really work and understand your authentic self, you know, sorry if I'm running and babbling, but one of the things that I've found in my time here is so many times people, the world all over, whether it be on social media or just like looking for other people, you know, to give them the answer of like what they should do in life. At the end of the day, you're the only person that understands every life experience that you've ever gone through. Mm. So it's almost like instead of looking, you know, to your left and right of seeing what other people are doing and asking them, you know, what I should do. Mm. Like, would you really work hard at understanding yourself and putting a mirror up in front of your face and saying,
yeah.
you know, what does this journey mean to me? You know, Rav Wolbe speaks about Ali Shore of you know, the concept of jealousy. When you spend so much time focusing on other people, you have less time to like love yourself and know yourself and like understand yourself. So I'd say to someone like, you know, really work to understand of what it is that you want, what it is that you're going for. How do you want your life to look? And I think that's the beginning, you know, of everyone's Jewish journey. And I think once you're able to answer yourself out,
beautiful.
As a Bali Tshuva, I think one of the hardest things that I've had to deal with is. It's a beautiful journey, but it's lonely.
Yes.
And I think one of the things that I really resonate with is one, attitude of gratitude, of self-love, of really, really loving yourself.
Yes.
But then again, I look back of how inspirational, you know, people surrounded by. So, you know, loving yourself, knowing yourself, and then also surrounding yourself with people that are, you know, in similar pathways, I think is a recipe to success. And obviously, you know, with Hashem's help, we'll you know, all be able to really find
that not journey. Just Hockey Hotch, King Hotch, baby, my roots.
Hey, you can still call me Hockey Hotch. It's Mekadosh in the physical world. So,
Well, I just need to actually a moment to process that answer. I'm gonna probably listen to it back.
Hodge 40 times.
I'm gonna do some Chazorah. I'm gonna instead of Gomorrah tonight, I'm gonna Chazorah Justin. But I think, I just want to say, like, I think we can all be so inspired by your journey, you know, how far you've come, you know, you're in Yeshiva now, and we know you're going to go on to, like, impact so many people. Like, I'm sure some people listening to now are, like, just so wowed by, like, the wisdom you've departed onto us. Just want to say a massive, massive thank you for coming on today and, like, sharing your inspiration. And never know, we might have you back on later. I want to hear more of these stories with you and Frankie.
It's been a little tasty.
There's some really cool story, funny stories in there.
Yeah, if you guys want to hear stories, we'll keep it off the tape. And you guys can come find Frank and I at the bottom of Nove Mountain. And,
And with Justin's permission, if it's okay with him, we're going to leave his email.
Of course.
In the bio for people if they want to contact, if they want to ask questions, if they can resonate, or they just want to know any more. And because we're all here to inspire each other. Like this is what this podcast is about. It's about hearing about different people's Jewish journeys for you. So like anyone can connect to these stories because everyone's got a story, you know, and that's what we're here to do. So thank you very much. And episode 4 was great. Amazing. We'll see you guys next week with more amazing inspirational episodes. Much love, everyone. Have an amazing, amazing week. Shabbat shalom.